Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I am here today with Carmella.
Hello.
Hello. I'm here with Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
And I'm here with Kyle. How you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing pretty well. All right, now, so now we have some new voices on the show today. Carmella, you guys know and love, First Lady of Trivial Warfare. Jeff, you are Jeff Bim. You are a warhead. You're on the Facebook group, and you are a trivia host in Chicago, Illinois.
That is correct. Yeah, so, I host a weekly pub trivia game. Tons of fun. Love hosting. I love answering trivia questions. It's kind of a double-edged sword when you're a trivia host reading other trivia questions. It's kind of like, oh, man, you know, how could I use that? I love hearing that. And then you're also the smarty pants. It's like, yeah, I already knew that. It's no big deal.
Exactly.
So know, now it kind of stinks when your job is to know all the answers to stuff.
So what part of
not as much fun.
What part of Chicago do you host in?
It's the south suburbs, really. It's a small little suburb town called Orland Park. I host out of a bar called the Square Celt. It is a wonderful Irish bar, one of my favorite places to spend any of my time. And I've been hosting there for 2 years, just about.
So if any of you guys are in the Illinois area, specifically near Chicago, go over to Orland Park and hook up and go to Jeff's show. What days do you do it, Jeff?
We do it Wednesday evenings at 8 o'clock, but we have a pretty regular crowd, so I always recommend people show up at least a half hour early so they get a good seat and they're not relegated to the second room with the, you know, uncomfortable chairs.
And that's the punishment for showing up late.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. On the other screen here, we have Kyle Appleyard. Kyle, you've been on the show before.
I have.
You were on the All Movie episode with our movie critics.
I was. That was a tough episode for me.
I still remember your cinnamon broom comment is still one of my favorite moments on the show.
That guy, he wanted to talk about his Emmys. I'm like, I don't have an Emmy. I got a cinnamon broom, I guess.
You know, if I had an Emmy, I'd probably talk about it too.
To have to admit to them that I'd never seen The Godfather was just something I think I'll never live down.
Now you're part of the Shark Dropper Network. Specifically, mm-hmm. What's your favorite show on your network? Which show do you want people to check out?
Oh, man. I think my favorite show, I have two favorites. My favorite show is the one that the sports podcast called Word of the Day that I do with my friend Nicholas. And it's just because I have the most fun on it because I usually end up drinking a little too much and giving heavily intoxicated takes on sports.
What did you say the name was? We Are the Bay?
Word of the Bay. So I live in Tampa, Florida, or St. Petersburg, Florida. So Tampa Bay is our market area. Mm-hmm. So it's Word of the Bay instead of Word of the Day.
Gotcha.
It's a lame name that I came up with. my second favorite is Doppel Avenue Hurt, which I am the star of. So that's the reason why it's my favorite. And it's a fictional podcast. It's all scripted. It's like radio theater. And I play Detective James Keyes in the show, and you can hear that on either on sharkdropper.com or you can go to Blog Talk Radio. It's there as well, but it's kind of like if you ever listened to Prairie Home Companion or if you listened to The Shadow back in the day, something like that. It's kind of like that.
It's I've listened to quite a few episodes of it, and it's very much like it's a film noir kind of detective feel. Mm-hmm. With really stupid, funny humor.
Yeah.
So if
film noir with a bunch of butt jokes.
Exactly. There you go. There you go. Good way to describe it. Yeah. All right, guys. So now here's today's game is going to be Kyle and Carmella versus Jonathan with Jeff as our special guest host. But before we do that, we've got to work through warming up Chris.
What up, Chris? I'm about to. What up, Chris? 'Cause that's what I was born into.
I have a list of the top 500 albums of all time according to the Rolling Stone 2003 list. And I want you to name albums that you think are in the top 10. So we will go around the room. We'll go with Carmella first, then Kyle, then Jeff, and roll back around. We'll see how many of these guys you can name.
Top 10?
Yes, the best albums of all time according to Rolling Stone.
2003. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band?
Named number one.
Yeah. Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one that I was absolutely positive is in the top 10.
Yeah. All right, Kyle, you're up.
I'm going to go top 10. I'm going to go with Nevermind.
Negative. Nevermind is not on the list.
Nevermind.
Not on the list at all.
Not, well, it's on the top 500.
Okay, all right.
Not top 10.
Fair enough.
It worked on the strength of like three or four songs. The whole thing wasn't amazing all the way through. All right, Jeff.
Okay, top 10 from the 2003 list. I know that there's like three Beatles albums, at least. I'm pretty sure. I want to say Revolver in the top 10 by the Beatles.
Revolver is number three on the list. Mm. Carmella.
Dark Side of the Moon.
Dark Side of the Moon. Not on the list.
That's me.
I know, that seems weird to me too. I would have thought it was on there. All right, Kyle, you've got to take into account all of Rolling Stone's biases.
Well, I'm just gonna guess the White Album.
Number 10 on the list is the White Album.
Yes, you can in.
All right, Jeff.
Bob Dylan's Blonde on Blonde.
It is number 9 on the list.
Hey.
I'm actually impressed. I don't even know the names of Bob Dylan's albums, so I'm impressed.
All right, it's my turn.
It is your turn.
Exile on Main Street.
Can you see my page?
No.
You're not cheating, are you?
Have I ever cheated?
I don't know. I've never caught you.
Jerk.
Okay, Exile on Main Street, number 7 on the list.
Woohoo!
Good job. Okay, you've got number 8, number 6, number 5, number 4, and number 2 that have not been named. Kyle, you're up.
So, I'm trying to think of like the most timeless bands or most popular bands. So, you got Led Zeppelin, you got the Rolling, you got the Beatles, you got Pink Floyd. But if Dark Side of the Moon is enough, and then I don't know necessarily know the name to any Rolling Stones albums unless they have a self-titled album. So, I'm just going to wait a minute. Hold on. I'm seeing the cover of the album with Mick Jagger's pants and the bulge in the pants. I see that. I just don't. What is that album called?
That's the most memorable thing you can think of. The bulge in Mick Jagger's pants. I know
exactly what you're talking about too.
And I see it because I scroll through it with my iPod. And I see that. I only see the cover. I can't see the actual names. I'm gonna say. I'm just gonna say Wild Horses. Maybe
that is not on the list.
I didn't think it would be.
All right, Jeff, you're up.
God, this is frustrating because I know I've read this list so many times.
You're a trivia guy. You're supposed to remember these things.
Yeah, I know. I have too many things in there. My mind palace is full. I got to go empty a room.
Your mind palace.
Thanks, Sherlock.
All right. I could go with another Beatles album, but I don't know which one it would be. I would doubt that it's early Beatles, so I guess at least middle of the road. You know what? I'm going to go with one of my favorite bands, The Clash, London Calling.
London Calling is number 8 on the list.
Yeah, there we go.
One of your favorite bands, really?
Clash is awesome.
Love The Clash.
Can't even name more than 3 songs. I don't even know if I can name 2, to be honest with you.
Lost in the Supermarket, it's a great song.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Sounds like an event more than a song.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what The Clash were. They were an event.
All right, Carmella, you're up.
Hard Day's Night?
Incorrect. Not on the list. Kyle.
Okay. I'm going to go with... I have no idea, to be honest. I'm just going to go with Led Zeppelin. Maybe they had a self-titled album, Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin, not on the list. All right, I'm going to give you guys one more time around. You're looking for number 2, 4, 5, and 6. Last turn for everybody. Jeff, you're up.
I'm kicking around 2 or 3 of them. Because I want to... Dang it. I'm going to say Thriller by Michael Jackson.
Oh, I love Thriller by Michael Jackson. Unfortunately, it's not on this list.
Oh, come on.
All right, Carmella.
Electric Ladyland.
Not on the list.
Mm.
Last one, Kyle.
License to Ill.
Negative.
We
branched out a little bit there. All right, number two. By the Beach Boys.
Dang it. That was one of the
best. Number four by Bob Dylan. Highway 61 Revisited.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Number five by the Beatles. Rubber Soul.
Ah.
Abbey Road, not on the list, by the way. I was surprised by that.
That's nonsense.
I think I would have put Abbey Road on here instead of the White Album. Or actually, instead of London Calling.
Hey, you take that back.
I will not.
You should take it back. We're all leaving.
After all we've done to get here. And last but not least, number six, What's Going On by Marvin Gaye.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I
never would have guessed that in a million years, but it makes complete sense.
You are not African American, my friend. This is why.
That's true.
It's an odd reason.
If Ben was here, he would have thought of it.
Ben would have thought of it.
All right, guys, we are ready to jump into our main game. That means I'm going to turn it over to Jeff. But before I do that, I'm going to get a drink because I've been talking a lot and I'm thirsty. All right, guys, we're up. Jeff, you can go ahead and get started. Round one, question one. What's the category?
Okay, question one, round one. The category is animals. And here's your question. Chinstrap, jackass, macaroni, emperor, and rockhopper are all different species of what type of animal?
Could you read the list again?
Sure thing. Chinstrap, jackass, macaroni, emperor, and rockhopper are all different species of what type of animal?
Okay, I am not 100% on it, but I'm locked in.
All right, Kyle, it means it's me and you.
Kyle looks like somebody in a mob video where they're confessing about the mob.
We can't really
see his face.
This on the day of my daughter's wedding.
Can you actually do that quote if you've never seen the movie?
I know, right? That's not even fair. what are you looking at over there? Oh, your face
is
stuck.
I just know these things. I can refer to it. So my first thought is rockhopper, emperor. Those are penguins. Those are types of penguins. So, yeah, that's what I'm leaning toward.
That's what I was thinking too. And I think the macaroni is the ones that have like the weird yellow fuzz stuff on their heads.
Yeah,
that looks kind of like macaroni. So I'm pretty sure it's penguin. So penguins.
I went with penguins.
Everyone's correct. It is in fact penguins.
Woo.
I threw emperor in as a bit of a difficulty adjuster.
Yeah, I was about to say, because
that gets a little bit harder.
Rockhopper.
Yeah. Would you have got rockhopper?
I would have gotten it with rockhopper.
I wouldn't have gotten anywhere close to it without emperor.
Yeah, aren't the rockhoppers are the crazy ones that like go all the way up the walls at the zoo?
Yeah.
Like all the way. Yeah. It's like insane. Anyway, I digress. All right. Question number two. Fictional beverages is your category.
Okay.
Fictional beverages. On The Simpsons, what special ingredient not commonly found in a bar is needed to create a flaming Homer, or rather a flaming Moe?
I was about to say, do you mean a flaming Moe? Because I don't remember the flaming Homer.
Oh, that was the entirety of the episode.
That's right. That's right.
Stole the,
he
recipe.
Stole it.
Yeah.
Oh, do I remember what was in it? I think I do. God, I saw that 20 years ago. I swear. I haven't seen it since then. I'm locked in.
Hey, Kyle, I'm pretty sure it's cough syrup.
Your guess is as good as mine. I've had a Flaming Moe at Universal Studios.
I don't know if they put cough syrup in their drinks down there.
I don't know. Maybe there's something codeine in there.
It's a whole different show.
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't have I've seen the episode. I just don't recall what the ingredient is. So I think if your guess is cough syrup, I'm comfortable with that.
All right. We're going to go with cough syrup.
What kind?
Do we have to say what kind of cough syrup?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
No.
He shakes his head. I'm like, that's crap.
All right. I said cough syrup.
It is indeed The brand, I wrote it down just in case. The brand is Krusty Brand Non-Narcotic Cough Syrup. That is the correct answer. I was going to be very impressed if somebody got the whole thing.
I guarantee you didn't have one of those, Kyle.
No. Yeah, for sure. No.
All right. Question three. Your category is Tribond movies.
Okay.
All right. What actor appeared in these three movies? Dick Tracy, Kung Fu Panda, and Sphere.
Dick Tracy, Kung Fu Panda, and Sphere. Holy crap.
I've seen two of those movies.
I've seen all of those movies. Oh. But I don't remember Sphere very well. I'm trying to remember the voices in Kung Fu Panda.
I think I could talk through this one with Joanna. You just need to...
Who's Joanna?
I'm thinking of the...
Are you literally in a show from 3 months ago now?
I'm flashing back.
Do I look like a Joanna?
I know, right?
That Joanna look on today.
I can only think of four actors' names that I can remember from Dick Tracy. And I feel like I can eliminate all of them. So that's a freaking problem. Shoot. It can't be any of those four. Oh, wait. I think I might have got it. It's like a 1 in 100 chance. Because I can't remember him. I feel like I can remember him in the suit and Sphere, but not really well. And I feel like he might be a voice on Kung Fu Panda, but not really well. And I'm certain he was in Dick Tracy. So I'm locked in.
All right.
Okay. So in Kung Fu Panda, you got Jack Black.
Uh-huh.
You got Lucy Liu.
Mm-hmm.
You got Seth Rogen. You got Jackie Chan. You've got Dustin Hoffman, right? Who I believe plays the rodent. Master? Isn't
yeah.
that Dustin Hoffman?
See, I've never seen Kung Fu Panda, but I know Dustin Hoffman's in it, and I know Dustin Hoffman is in Sphere.
Yeah, I think that it's got, I think I'm...
But I don't Dustin know Hoffman's if, I can't remember if he's in, because the only people I remember from Dick Tracy are Warren Beatty and Madonna.
Right. I feel like I can see Dustin Hoffman in Dick Tracy.
Madonna yeah. was so pretty in that movie. that might be the best she's ever looked.
Really?
Her entire life.
I would agree. Breathless Mahoney.
Yeah.
I gotta look that up.
Oh, man.
I gotta check that out now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see him fitting into, like, just the way he looks into that movie, but I can't remember. I haven't seen Dick Tracy in forever.
Right. Well, if we know he's in Kung Fu Panda, we know he's in Sphere. I mean, that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to go.
Yeah.
Let's just go with Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, let's go with Dustin Hoffman.
Okay, so the four people I could think of in Dick Tracy were Warren Beatty, Madonna, Al Pacino, and Charlie Korsmo played the kid. Right? He ended up being in Can't Hardly Wait. He was the nerdy kid in Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh,
that's why I remember him.
Yeah. He was also in Hook, wasn't he?
Yes, he was
in
Hook.
Yeah, that's where I remember him from.
And I was like, it's none of those freaking dudes. And then I went to Sphere, and I remembered Sharon Stone and Samuel L. Jackson. It's like, well, none of them are in the same movie. So that's why I was stuck for a while, right? And then I in Sphere, I feel like the poster had them in these, like, dark blue body coat suits, basically. And I could remember mm-hmm. three heads, and the third head that popped up in my memory was Dustin Hoffman. And Dustin Hoffman played Mumbles in Dick Tracy, where they try to interrogate him. He like, and so they took his mumbles and they put it on a tape recorder and slowed it down. And it turned out he was saying, big boy did it. Big boy did it. And so I was just hoping against hope that he was also in Kung Fu Panda. I said Dustin Hoffman.
You are all correct. It is Dustin Woo-hoo! Hoffman.
I
Way
am
to go, Jonathan.
Stoked.
You Jonathaned your way into an answer without even having to say it out loud.
You can tell how long it took there.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite cameos is, or I guess it's not a cameo since it's a major kind of part, but he had the makeup and he didn't really talk. He just kind of, just kind of made weird noises.
So going into round two, it is 30-30.
All right.
Okay.
Have to get the difficulty up. Get those scores.
No. That was difficult enough. That's yeah. That's right there.
You're,
where
you're
I'm
taking away Jonathan's ability to talk. That instantly cuts his IQ down.
All right. Question four, first to the second round. The category is music.
Music.
What influential punk band featured members Doyle Wolfgang von Frankenstein, Jerry Only, and Glenn Danzig?
You guys want to 1-2-3 it?
No. I kind of do, but I don't.
Do you guys want those names one more time?
No. There's only one that meant anything to me. I'm locked in.
Yep. I'm good. I got it.
Well, you can talk.
Well, you can talk to me now.
Oh, it's the Misfits.
Misfits? Okay.
They're getting back together, actually. So, yeah, that's how
I on the other hand, went with the Misfits. And I will share again. It with Carmela so she can see and prove that I'm trustworthy.
Yes.
Well, once again, yes, you are both correct. It is the Misfits. They did just announce that in Chicago, right by me, fist pump, the Misfits are reuniting after like 33 years.
I've never heard a Misfits song. I have.
Really?
Oh, man.
Danzig. Did Danzig have numbers for his albums? I feel like Danzig 4 was the name of the album with Mother, and that was the only song of Danzig's I've ever heard.
I could have swore that one was self-titled, but I don't remember.
Might have been. Maybe I just called it 4 and it was actually just the end.
It was just his fourth album.
Yeah. Where's it on the Rolling Stone Top 500?
Yeah, right? Where's that?
Not at number one where it belongs.
Number 501.
Danzig's so much fun. All right. Moving away from Danzig talk, I'll stop being a fanboy about the Misfits. Question number 2 of the second round. Your category is science.
Science!
Arms!
Named after a German physicist, what unit of measure is used to describe electrical resistance?
A German physicist? They're all yes. German physicists. I'm just taking a wild guess. I'm locked in.
You're locked in?
Yep.
All right. So I'm starting to write down the electrical terms that I know. So I've written down ohms, voltage, and amps. I'm pretty sure there's no guy named, you know, Heinz voltage.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure it's ohm. An ohm is the unit of measurement.
Yeah, that's better than I have.
Do you want to go with ohm?
Wait, what do you have?
I started to write down Heisenberg.
No, that's the guy who knocks. So do you want to go with ohm, Kyle?
I'll go with ohm.
All right.
So I think volts are named after Volta.
Oh.
Which close to voltage.
Yeah. I just thought it'd be funny if some guy was named Heinz Voltage. That should be my like my punk name.
It should be. Because it sounds like high voltage. You know? He abbreviates it high voltage. I came down to joules and ohms, and I said ohms.
Once again, you guys are all correct. It is ohms.
Oh, thank
ohms
you.
Ohms represented by the Greek letter omega.
Yeah, that's how I remembered it.
Is that what transistors, do they... Do,
yes.
Is that yeah. what they yeah. the ohms, that's what they're trying to mm-hmm. block or redirect?
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure.
When I was a kid, I had a circuit board toy. And yeah, basically...
Like a little breadboard?
Yeah, something like that. And so there'd be a red mm-hmm. light on the end, and you had to create circuits and run them through. Like, you hook a little... it was a plastic tube with a metal end, and you'd hook it onto springs. And you had to connect things and run it through, and there'd be transistors and whatnot with switches, so you could turn them on or turn them off mm-hmm. to let it pass through. And I still remember half of the electric stuff I know in my life from that toy when I was like 6.
Well, if you ever want to know them again, just ask Amanda. She works with circuit boards all the time. And
oh, yeah?
And electrical
stuff. Your cousin
stuff.
Amanda?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
All right. Next question. Category sports.
Sports.
What team contact sport uses 3 player positions: blocker, pivot, and jammer?
This is not familiar to me. As soon as you say it, it might become familiar to me, but right now it's not. All right, I'm locked in.
So, my first thought actually was volleyball.
Mine too.
So, but, and then I go back to, is that a contact sport?
Nope.
Right.
And, I mean, there's definitely contact on the same side. So if you're going for, you know, your own team running into you, that's definitely going to happen. But I don't know if it qualifies as a contact sport.
Right. Yeah. And I look at sports like hockey and football, and I know those are contact sports, and that's terminology that's not, with those two sports. So the one thing that I keep coming back to is rugby. And those sound, the pivot blocker and what was the third one?
Jammer.
Jammer. Those all sound like rugby sort of, moves, I guess you could say. Pivot, jammer, blocker. And I'm not too familiar with the terminology of that sport. That's why I would think that that's the one contact sport that's what I keep coming back to.
There's rugby. A whole lot of contact in that sport.
Yeah.
Rugby's probably about as good as anything I'm going to come up with.
Yeah, I'm fine with sticking with rugby.
All right, rugby.
I went through a similar process. Volleyball was the closest one for me too, but definitely not a contact sport. I went to rugby, but I've had a conversation about rugby, and I feel like I would remember those names, and I don't remember those names. So I went a little bit further in that direction and went with Australian rules football.
Oh.
And I'm hoping that there's a big difference.
So we have rugby and an Australian rules football, neither of which are the correct answer.
Ah.
The correct answer is roller derby.
Roller derby.
I thought you said sports.
Aw, you be mean to roller derby.
I guarantee if you said that in front of the girls that play roller derby, they would very quickly be on your case about it.
Mow you down.
The blockers are the girls that stand at the back of the pack as they go around the track. And the pivots go to the front, and the jammers are the ones that try to lap everybody to score points.
Wow.
And when they're in the process of trying to score points, that's called a jam. So I highly recommend. I used to know a bunch of girls that used to play for one of the Chicago roller derby teams. Highly recommend. It's fun to go watch.
I feel rather confident that we have at least one roller derby player as a listener. I think Stacy, right?
I think she's a roller derby person.
I think so.
I believe she is as well, if that's the one that I'm thinking of from the...
From Canada, from Saskatchewan.
From the website, yeah.
Yes. Stacy, we're sorry. We didn't know. And now she's mad at me. Okay, going into round three. The score is 50-50 with absolutely no separation whatsoever.
All right. Question number one of the third round is the theater. The theater,
The category. By Jove.
By Jove. All right. What Broadway musical features the songs You and Me, But Mostly Me, Man Up, and All American Prophet?
I just wrote down an answer that I don't even know if it's a Broadway musical. But that's how far away from a good answer I am right now. So I'm locked in.
Okay. So I'm thinking about the plot of the Music Man, and he's a peddler. He goes town to town, peddling his music, and bamboozles the town. So that's why All American Prophet and what were the other two?
You and Me, But Mostly Me, and
Man Up.
That was what it was.
Yeah, those seem to fit that general narrative.
So. This is what I ended up thinking of, and it was because of All American Prophet, and I thought of, like, you know, a religious prophet. I was thinking of Book of Mormon that Trey Parker and Matt Stone wrote. So that was a musical.
You got a good point there. I didn't think of prophet as a religious, in the religious context. So
easy for you to say.
Like, what's happening?
You didn't just have a stroke, did you?
Howdy words.
Like, religious?
Religious.
Religious.
You're speaking in tongues. I don't know really anything about the Music Man.
If there's one that we agreed on, if we both wrote down Book of Mormon, maybe we should just go with that.
And You and Me, But Mostly Me, sounds like something that Trey Parker and Matt Stone would write.
I'll go with Book of Mormon.
All right. And then if it's wrong, it's my fault.
So... I know that there's a musical that's really popular right now. I don't know if it's a Broadway musical or not, but it's called Hamilton. And I'm hoping it's a Broadway musical, The American Prophet thing is what kind of took me there. Because if it's Hamilton from his own point of view, then that could be you and me and mostly me, then that might be a fit there too. So I wrote down Hamilton and I'm hoping for the best.
Although Hamilton is a Broadway musical and is very good, if you haven't heard it, definitely check it out. The correct answer is, in fact, the Book of Mormon.
Woohoo!
Oh, wow, good job, guys.
It is Book of Mormon. And those are some of the least offensive songs in that show. If you haven't heard the soundtrack, it's a bit blue, per se.
I'm shocked. I'm stunned.
It is quite... It surprisingly warm-hearted. I thought it was going to be, when I first went to go see it, I thought it was going to be way more normal South Park-y type stuff, but it's actually quite warm-hearted.
Okay. All right. Wow, there's a differentiator. I didn't know the Book of Mormon.
Yeah. Good job on,
you should have listened to him.
The prophet thing.
Yeah, you should have listened to him and gone with the freaking music man. He's like Fiddler on the Roof.
All right. Next question. Your category is geography. Geography. The Dardanelles, the Sea of Marmara, and the Bosphorus together form a waterway that passes through what country?
I'm locked in. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
So when you think of waterways passing through a country, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is Venice.
Mm-hmm. And... Mara is sea in Italian.
I'm good with Venice. I'm good with Italy, right?
So, you want to say Italy?
Yeah.
All right, let's go with Italy.
So, I believe that the Dardanelles and the Bosphorus connect the Mediterranean with the Black Sea. And I think they go through the very last few hundred miles of Turkey. So, I said Turkey.
And we are all tied up again. The correct answer is, in fact, Turkey.
Geography is his strong point. I hope you know that.
Not really.
Yes, it is.
I'm getting better at it, though, because I'm reading more things that are historically based, focused on geography.
The Dardanelles and the Bosphorus and the Sea of Marmara, they are actually, according to most people, what kind of delineates the European and Asian halves of Turkey. Mm. It's kind of like right along that line. So it's kind of a politically and geographically important waterway.
It's actually, it's a really interesting conversation about Turkey as to whether or not they see themselves as European or Asian. And basically, they tried to be European for the last 50 years or so since President Ataturk. But now they don't feel like they've been feeling the love from Europe. And so now they're starting to identify more as Asian and more Muslim. And so it's going to be interesting to see where that goes over the next few years.
All right. Next question. Category is video games.
Woo-hoo!
Video games.
You like video games. See, I like video games too. So we'll see about this.
Revolver Ocelot, Psycho Mantis, The End, Vamp, and Big Boss are villains from what series of video games?
I wrote it down.
Already?
Yep.
Damn. Damn. Oh, shoot. All right, I need you to read them again.
Sure.
Or wait, are you locked in without talking to Kyle?
Yeah, go ahead and lock in if you wrote it down that fast.
Oh, yeah. I'm locked in. Go for it.
Oh, she's got her hands in the air. She's like, what? All right, read them again.
Revolver Ocelot, Psycho Mantis, The End, Vamp, and Big Boss are all villains from what series of video games?
I feel like there is a big guy or something like that in the BioShock franchise. Big somebody. Psycho Mantis. That sounds so juvenile.
Your face sounds juvenile.
Your face! Reverse Ocelot. I thought an ocelot was like a monkey or something.
Revolver Ocelot.
Revolver Ocelot. It's a shooting monkey.
Yeah.
Okay. So a monkey that shoots. A psychotic praying mantis. The End, which is meaningless to me. That sounds like a band. Big Boss. And Vamp. Somebody's trying to be hip. Hip, but childish. You're the kind of person, I think, Jeffrey, as a host, that yes. might do things that are relatively topical. And so it might mean something that has a new information that's come out about it. And so I'm totally clueless as to the actual answer to this question. But I do know that Ratchet and Clank recently had a new game and movie, I think, come out. And that's a video game that trends towards silliness. So I'm just going to throw out a guess and say Ratchet and Clank.
Okay.
All right, Carmelo, what did you have?
So first of all, an ocelot is a kind of cat. I think maybe you were thinking of a marmoset.
I don't know. So it's a shooting cat. Still a shooting animal.
The answer is Metal Gear.
Metal Gear is the correct answer. Nah. The Metal Gear series.
Is it Metal Gear Solid or Metal Gear?
It's Metal Gear series. Everything falls underneath Metal Gear.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Revolver Ocelot is pretty much the only common denominator in all the Metal Gear movies.
The shooting monkey, Revolver Ocelot, was one of the villains from Metal Gear Solid.
As soon as you say Revolver Ocelot, I'm like, oh, got it.
Wow, so going into halftime, Carmella and Kyle are winning 70-60. 70-60. Because of Revolver Ocelot.
The shooting monkey.
Yes.
All right. Your midpoint question. The rock band Weezer, in the 24 years that they have been a band, have released 4 self-titled albums.
Really? Usually,
yes. 4 self-titled albums.
Awesome.
And those albums are usually referred to just by the color of the album art on the front. So, name the 4 color albums released by Weezer. They're all self-titled, and everybody just refers to them as the color that they are on the front.
That's funny, because I can only think of 2 Weezer albums, and one of them has a name, so it wasn't self-titled.
Kyle, I know 2. I'm hoping you know the other 2.
I'm thinking I know the 2 that you know.
I'm locked in.
All right. So the 2 I definitely know are the Blue Album and the Green Album.
Yeah, that's the same 2 I arrived at, Blue and Green.
I'm pretty sure there was a red cover on one of their albums.
You know what? I think you're right. I think the red album was, I can't remember the song exactly, but I do think that red is correct.
And I wrote down another color. I wrote down black, but I don't know if that's right.
Black, I remember when they came out with Beverly Hills, the album, or at least the album artwork, was black. I remember it being black.
But that one had a name, didn't it?
That's what I think. I think it had a name. I think some of the more contemporary.
So, I mean, we can just run the spectrum of colors. I mean, I don't think they would do like the Cyan album or Magenta album or something like that. So,
right. But I mean, they went red, green, blue. So you think like the only thing missing here is yellow.
Yeah. Yellow was actually the next thing I was going to say. Did they have a yellow album?
Yeah.
I'm good with yellow. If you're good with yellow, I know we'll at least get 2.
Yeah, okay, let's go with red, green, blue, yellow.
All right.
So, I went with blue. That was one with the Sweater Song and Buddy Holly. They had an album called Pinkerton, so I thought about going pink, but I didn't. I went green at a guess, and then I finished my guesses with white and black. So I said blue, green, white, and black.
All right. So, in the order that they were released, Blue Album was their first album. And then, Jonathan, you're right, they did have an album called Pinkerton, but that didn't count because it wasn't pink, and it was called Pinkerton, not self-titled. It wasn't just Weezer. And then the Green Album, which is the second. And then their third self-titled album was a few years ago, and that was the Red Album. And then just recently, they released their 4th self-titled, and that was the White Album.
Yeah!
So everybody got 3, I believe, because Jonathan, I believe you said blue, green, and white, and black. Right?
I did, so we both got 15 points.
Everybody got 15.
How many more artists are going to do the white, black album thing? I mean, come
on. Well, that's why I was hesitant. I'm like, well, Jay-Z did the black album, so would they do the black album?
So going into the second half of the game, it is 85-75.
Ooh, close game.
Yes, well, Carmella and Kyle are still in the lead. C&K Music Factory. Okay, before we get to the second half, I want to remind you guys that we're up for a 2016 podcast award. Your votes made us a finalist. That's the top 10 vote getters in the nomination period. And the voting is currently open. It's going to be opened from today when this show is being released until next Sunday, July 12th. That means you can vote daily for Trivial Warfare to win a podcast award until Sunday the 12th. I really hope that you'll do that. We're going up against some bigger shows, shows with bigger audiences. But truthfully, the show that's going to win is likely going to be the one that can get their people to vote the most often. I know you guys are dedicated. I know you guys are awesome. Obviously, I talk to a lot of you guys on the Facebook group all the time. So I know how much you care about the show. I really want to give this a shot. You know, I really want to put up a good fight and do our best to try and win the award. So if you want to support us and help us do that, go to podcastawards.com and vote for Trivial Warfare in the Games and Hobbies category. I appreciate your support. And Jeff, how about you take us into the fourth round, man?
So your first question of the fourth round. The category is TV pets. TV pets.
So hosed.
I need you to name either of the two dogs that were owned by the Bundy family on Married with Children. Plus, if you name both of them, you get a bonus point. So if you need to get one right to get the 10 points, you get them both, you get 11.
I'm locked in with one. I can't pick them both.
Okay, so I watched Married with Children when I was like 5, so I really don't remember the show very much. So I'm hoping that you remember at least one of these dogs.
No, I was not a big Married with the Children fan.
Married with the Children.
You're a fan of those guys.
Love and the mayor.
It was always one of those weird Fox shows.
It was definitely a weird Fox show.
Hilarious, by the way.
I remember it being funny, but then again, I was 5. I didn't understand half of it.
No, you didn't.
You
go back and watch it today, you will laugh.
Maybe, do they have, like, you know, stereotypical names like Spot or Rex or something? Is that
that's
funny?
What I was thinking.
That's a good answer that I'm going to give. So if we say both, you know, at least maybe we might get both.
Let's go with Spot and Rex.
Spot and Rex.
Okay, so I don't know the second one. God, I hope it's not Spot. I'd feel like an idiot for that. But I remember when Buck died and they got the new one. And the new one's a Cocker Spaniel, and I can't remember what they named it. But Buck was the name of the dog that was on the show forever.
So the names of the dogs. Jonathan is correct. It is Buck is one of them. And the second was Lucky, the reincarnation of Buck.
Lucky, that's right.
Yeah, there was no way I was going to get that.
Yeah, they wrote Buck dying into the show so that the dog could play him, could retire.
All right, we're back in a tie game.
All right.
Boo.
All right, your next question. I'm never going to be able to say this as good as Ben, but literatura is your category. Detective Harry Bosch and defense attorney Mickey Haller are two characters that appear in multiple novels by what American crime fiction author?
Crap.
What were the names again?
Harry Bosch and Mickey Haller.
I don't even know any freaking American crime fiction authors. I know one, and it ain't him. I'm just throwing a wild guess out here. I'm locked in.
You know who I need for this question? I need Waco for this question because he watches the TV show.
Oh, it's a TV show?
It's a TV show called Bosch. And
well,
the guy,
crap a duck.
So okay. The guy, Harry, his name is actually Hieronymus Bosch. He's named after the painter.
Oh, he's crazy.
So I know things about him, but I can't remember who wrote him. And the only thing I can think of is Harlan Corbin. And I don't even know if that's even close.
If it's Harlan Corbin, this is definitely from the spicy set of questions. I've never heard of that person.
I have a Harlan Corbin book sitting at my desk that I've not read yet. I'm okay with that.
I also believe Harlan Corbin. I don't know. No, that was Metzer. Metzer was the one who wrote helped write Identity Crisis for DC. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of is Harlan Corbin, as I don't think it's Metzer. So you want to go with that?
I'll go with that.
All right, let's go with Harlan Corbin.
I went with John Updike. Just hoping for the best.
The correct answer is Michael Connelly. Michael Connelly.
I've never heard of Michael Connelly.
Oh, Michael Connelly, really?
Yes. And here's where I made this question a little harder is because I didn't mention that Mickey Holler, the defense attorney, is better known from, I believe it was his first story that he had all to himself, was the Lincoln Lawyer. The Lincoln Lawyer is Mickey
Holler. I've heard of Michael Connelly, but I've never read any of his
Matthew
stuff.
Matthew McConaughey movie.
Yeah, that still wouldn't help me.
I know all these other things about it, except who wrote the
book. Yeah, for real.
I totally thought that you had it down. As if, like, you even knew his full first name and everything. Thought you had it. All right. Next question. The category is company name origins. And the question is, famous for selling frozen foods, what company's name is a portmanteau of the names of two neighboring U.S. states?
Let's go down the list.
I think I might know what it is, but I'm not gonna lock in because I want to talk to Kyle about it.
The states of lean and cuisine.
Right? Marie Callender.
It's the healthy and choice states. Yes. It's sad, but as soon as you ask the question, there's literally no frozen foods coming to my mind at all.
You didn't get three at once?
No.
Aww.
No. So now I'm literally just trying to get some states in my head. Never heard of a food brand called Bama Sissippi. I'm locked in.
All right. I thought of French fries. And that made me think of Orida, O-R-E-I-D-A, for Oregon and Idaho.
Oh, you're genius.
So, but I wanted to talk to you because I'm like, I think that might be it.
I've been sitting here the entire time trying to think of the guy that sells Salisbury steaks on TV.
That guy. His name is Chef. Salisbury Steak Day, children.
You know, it's not Green Giant or Bird's Eye. So, yeah, right. Orida, that's what we're going to go with.
All right, Jonathan, what'd you have?
I wrote down Orida.
Oh, I had a feeling you finally worked that out.
It took me a long time. I went through all the stupid ones, and then I was Bird's Eye and Hormel, and I was struggling. And then Orida popped into my head, and I was like, that was so clearly the answer.
Absolutely. Once you got it, you got it. The company was founded in Oregon by the two brothers who started the company. And then when they started doing mostly potato stuff, it used to just be the Oregon Frozen Food Company, but then they changed the name when they started doing mostly taters, delicious taters.
All right. So after the, what is that? After the fourth round? Yes.
That's the end of the fourth round.
It is 95-95. This has been tight the whole time.
Fail at something, Jonathan.
You fail.
No.
High scoring game. All right. First question of the fifth round. Category is movies.
Movies.
And your question. What movie franchise features films directed by David Fincher, James Cameron, and Ridley Scott?
I don't know who David Fincher is. I'm locked in.
Okay, so James Cameron is all about let me push the technology as far as I can and then make a movie around it. So he doesn't really tend to do a lot of franchise things.
Kyle says he's got it.
Oh, you've got
he
it?
Does, he does. Oh, yeah, he does sequels well. He did Aliens well. I know that David Fincher did, I think, Aliens 3, and then Ridley Scott is Alien. So, yeah, it's definitely Alien.
Okay, Alien franchise.
I'm sure glad that he was confident about that because I wrote down Alien. I couldn't remember. I thought he might have done Alien 3, Cameron. And I knew Scott did the first one. So I said
Alien. The order, I just completely flipped it. Ridley Scott did Alien. And then James Cameron, of course, did Aliens, where everything was exploded and giant and not scary space horror anymore. It's just more Marines shooting things.
Right.
And then David Fincher did Aliens 3.
With Charles S. Dutton, who played Rock. Remember Rock on TV? you're too young. You're both too young? Nobody remembers freaking Rock.
Nope.
Jeff, do you remember Rock?
The TV?
Oh, my God.
Stop being so old, Jonathan.
He was a garbage man. It was a funny show. I'm so lonely in my old age.
Oh, no, wait. Maybe I do remember that.
Do you know who Charles S. Dutton is? Man,
that sounds way more familiar.
Do you know who Charles S. Dutton is?
Yeah.
Okay. He was Rock.
That guy.
As soon as you said garbage man, I was like, oh, that makes more sense.
All right.
All right. Question two in the fifth round. The category is famous places. On July 22nd, 1934, what famous outlaw was gunned down by the FBI behind the Biograph Theater?
Oh, wow. I'm locked in, but I don't feel good about it.
All right, so
it's got to be a bank robber, right?
Oh, I was thinking more of a prohibition guy.
Hmm. I was thinking of like the that Johnny Depp movie from a few years ago.
Ed Wood.
Ed Wood. Yeah.
It was like Enemies of the State or something like that.
Right.
It's Will Smith.
No, not that one. Obviously, it's not that one. But he played a bank robber, and I'm trying to think of what his name was in the movie. Yeah.
The first name I wrote down was Al Capone, and that can't be right.
No, Al Capone died in old age.
Right.
Of syphilis, for the most part.
I'm trying to think of, there was a guy named, I think it was Pretty Boy. Like, Pretty Boy Floyd was, like, he got his name from this guy.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I wrote down was Bugsy. I'm like, that's a gangster name.
Yeah. Bugsy Malone.
I have no idea. I got nothing.
I'm pretty sure it's Bugsy Malone because there was a hockey player from the Lightning called Ryan Malone, and mm-hmm. his nickname was Bugsy.
So, I mean, that's the only thing I could think of.
But I mean, we could be just using that to arrive at the wrong answer, anyways.
True. So,
let's go with Bugsy Malone because I can't pull any other name.
All right.
I thought Bugsy's last name was Siegel.
Oh, you're right. It is Siegel.
Do it all legal.
Yeah, exactly. You got to go back to Tupac if you want to talk about gangsters, right? I didn't feel like it was a gangster like that, though. And I might be in the wrong time period, but when I think of famous outlaws, I think of three names. I think of Billy the Kid, and I think of Bonnie and Clyde. So I said Bonnie.
Okay, so we had Bonnie from Bonnie and Clyde, and then what was the other answer?
Bugsy Malone.
Bugsy Malone.
Malone. No, it is the correct answer, gunned down behind the Biograph Theater, was John Dillinger, famous bank robber.
Oh, that's his name.
Carmella, you were on the right path when you said bank robber.
Yeah.
Next question, last question of the fifth round. Your category is backing bands. Backing bands.
Okay. Crap on a stick.
The Mothers of Invention were a rock group that served as the backing band for what eccentric songwriter?
Give me that name again.
The Mothers of Invention.
Okay, so I wrote down Frank Zappa. And I remember that line from Smoke on the Water, like, Frank Zappa and the Mothers.
Okay, and Frank Zappa definitely was out there.
I think that's how that. So I think that's how it goes. I'll go with Frank Zappa if you're comfortable.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
If you had not said eccentric, I would have really questioned. But as soon as you said eccentric, I was much more confident. I wrote down Frank Zappa.
It is, in fact, Frank Zappa. And the lyrics to Smoke on the Water do include the line, Frank Zappa and the Mothers.
Yes. Nice job on that.
Thank you, Kyle.
I'll try.
You guys are turning into a pretty formidable team here.
Yeah, I'll do all the Metal Gear questions. He can do all the Frank Zappa questions.
Yeah.
Go. These are really niche specialties.
But they work.
Going into the final round, it is 115 to 115.
Oh, my God. All right. Final round. Question number one. The category, sports.
Sports.
Your question is, in 1995, the Quebec Nordiques relocated from Canada and changed their name to what?
There's been so much movement in the NHL. I know some of them. I don't know this one. Just going to take a stab in the dark. All right, I'm locked in.
Okay, so
I could tell you what I thought of, which is probably not the right answer. I was like, 95? That was about the time Mighty Ducks came out, and I know Anaheim got a hockey team.
Yeah.
So I was like, the Anaheim Ducks? But I don't think that's right.
Well, 95 is also the time that Atlanta went to the Olympics, I believe. I think it was 95.
96 is when Atlanta hosted the Olympics. And that was the Summer Olympics.
Right. But they still had to build some multi-purpose facilities, I would think. Having an Olympic and then attracting a team. So that's why I think it's the Thrashers, the Atlanta Thrashers. The only other team I can think of is possibly the Nashville Predators.
I don't know anything about hockey, so.
All right, I'm gonna go with Atlanta Thrashers.
All right.
Okay, so I actually leaned in Carmella's direction. I think the Mighty Ducks was a transfer team. I know the movies came out in the early 90s, and the team came after that, a little bit after that. I went with the Mighty Ducks.
The correct answer, the Quebec Nordiques relocated to Colorado and became the Colorado Avalanche.
I didn't realize I thought the Avalanche had been there longer than that. They won some championships soon after that.
Mm-hmm.
Doggone it.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay. We both got that one wrong.
Yeah.
This is going to be interesting if we go in. This could be the first game that ever ends in a tie. Could be.
Please don't let that happen under my watch.
You failed us, Jeff. No, I'm kidding. You haven't failed us.
All right. Question two, the final round. The category is world governments.
Okay.
In the UN General Assembly, there are two non-member observer states which can participate in the work of the UN without formal membership. I need you to name one of them for 10 points, and if you can name the second, you also get an extra point.
So, UN General Assembly, non-member states, they're an observer.
They are, yes, there are two non-member observer states.
All right, I'm locked in.
All right, what you got, Kyle?
Switzerland?
Well, they are neutral. But I didn't write, I wrote down one. I wrote down Vatican City because they are a country. And I can see them kind of wanting to be there to see what's going on, but not really want to be all in the UN.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's probably the best.
Well, we could say Switzerland, too. We can give, you know, Vatican and Switzerland, if that helps.
Yeah. No, I think that's kind of a funny answer. I didn't mean that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were being serious.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Could I be serious about it?
I'm comfortable with Vatican City.
Okay.
I don't know that I could think of another one.
I don't think I can think of one either, but I'm good with at least saying Vatican City.
Okay, let's add Switzerland to it.
Okay, Vatican City and Switzerland.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could be so free. Sorry, it just came out when I started with the first
one. Who says life's not a musical?
Yeah, right. I said the Vatican and Switzerland.
Oh my god.
You're never going to let me separate from you, are you?
How that happened? So, all right. What are the answers?
The two non-member observers in the UN, one is Palestine because it doesn't really have official borders and Israel keeps telling them, no, go away, but they can still be part of the UN. And the other one is the Holy See, which is Vatican City.
Yes!
So you guys got one at least.
So that's 10 points for both of us?
Oh, man.
That is correct.
Okay, last question before the final.
In the category, let's call it TV events.
Okay.
During Super Bowl 38, Janet Jackson famously had her wardrobe malfunction. Name one of the two teams that were performing in Super Bowl 38.
Is there any extra credit here?
Sure, we could do 1 point for the other one, if you get both.
All right, I'm locked in.
All right, Kyle. So, I remember who was on stage with Janet Jackson. It was Justin Timberlake. However, I don't remember what teams were playing. So, I'm hoping that you do.
Well, I'm hoping that you don't.
I am
99.99% sure that it's Panthers and Patriots. Now, I know that the Eagles were mixed in there at some point with the Patriots as well. So now I'm kind of second guessing myself, but I think I'm going to go with my gut here. My first gut feeling was Panthers and Patriots.
P squared, Panthers and Patriots.
P squared.
You're giving me that glare like I said something bad.
He's good at that.
He's got that dad look down. He really does.
So do you trust Kyle?
It's better than what I got, because when he started talking about the wardrobe malfunction, the only thing I could think of was Justin Timberlake, because he was looking right at her. Yeah. So I'm going to go with Kyle.
All right. So you guys said Panthers and Patriots?
Right.
I said Patriots and Panthers, you jerk. God, I thought I was going to get away from you guys, man.
The two teams, of course, the Panthers and the Patriots.
Woohoo! Thank you, Kyle.
Why wouldn't you guys end the game with both of you getting it right and the bonus?
So going into the final, the score is 136 to 136.
Kyle, you're the best teammate ever.
Unbelievable. Oh, nightmare.
All right.
You remember, you guys know, we had to talk about this in the tournament a bunch, but we haven't mentioned it in normal game. There are tiebreaker procedures.
It's rock, paper, scissors.
It's rock, paper, scissors.
I'm pretty good at rock, paper, scissors.
Best two out of three. So, just saying, if we end there, Carmella and I are going to have to 1, 2, 3 shoot a couple of times to see who wins.
I'm fine with that. I was upset that you guys were tied, but now I kind of want to see that continue.
We'll do it right in front of the webcam so you can see it.
love to see it. All right. Your final category is movie characters.
So movie I kind of know what your bet's going to be.
Yeah, but I can't even imagine losing on something I get right.
Place your bets.
All right. I'm locked in.
All right, so Kyle, we got to figure out what we want to bet.
Well, you do this more than I do.
I do. And I was thinking that Jonathan was going to bet zero and just hope that we get it wrong. But I don't think he's actually going to do that. So, movie characters. God, that could be anything.
We have how many?
We have 136, but we are tied, so we have to keep that in mind.
It's really tough because we don't know Jeff's level of difficulty on his finals either.
True.
He could be, I mean, it could be easy peasy, or it could be incredibly difficult.
And I don't know how much you bet, but you're going to know how much we bet.
Well, that's not going to matter because I can't change mine.
Yeah. What are you thinking, Kyle? How confident are you with movie characters?
Name all of the children of the Godfather.
I couldn't do that either. Don't do that.
It would be Ova.
Ova.
Part of me wants to just bet the farm.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that.
And just like, because there's got to be a winner and a loser here, right? I mean,
yeah, but if we lose and we have zero, I'm going to have zero against Jonathan, and I'm really not going to like that. Because last time I played against Jonathan, I beat him. So
I listened to that one. What's a good middle ground here?
You 36. So that way, if we lose, we'll just end with 100.
Okay.
You good with that?
Let's do 36. All right. I was thinking that too. I was either saying cut it in half or just go 36.
All right.
Game theory in effect for the two competitors here. Okay, Jeff. Our final question. It's about movie characters. Lay it on us.
All right. You might want to write these down just so you get everything. So you have Sylvester Stallone as Rocky Balboa, Michael Gambon as Dumbledore, Leonard Nimoy as Spock, and Clint Eastwood as Harry Callahan, a.k.a. Dirty Harry.
Oh, I know what you're going to ask.
How many movies?
Yes. How many movies each one of these people appeared in as that character?
Exactly. So from most appearances to least appearances in film as that character.
In the most recent movies, they break them up into parts, and that's killing me right now. Because I'm trying to think of how many parts different movies had. All right, I'm locked in.
So the only one I have even a bit of a clue is Michael Gambon as Dumbledore, because Richard Harris was the original Dumbledore, and he passed away. And I think they switched in the third movie, so it can't be any more than six for Dumbledore, because they broke the seventh movie up into two.
Okay, so Dumbledore or Gambon took over in Goblet of Fire, right?
Did he not take over in Azkaban? Or was it somebody else was in Azkaban, wasn't he? Because Richard Harris died after the second movie. Yeah, so it can't be any more than six for Dumbledore.
I'm good with six for that.
Okay, so I'm trying to think of how many Rocky movies there are.
So so you got Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3.
I think they went up to like Rocky 5 before they started calling them other things.
Was there a Rocky 5?
I'm pretty sure there was a Rocky 5.
okay, if there was a Rocky V, then you got Rocky Balboa, and then you got the one that just came out with...
Creed.
Yeah.
Was he in Creed?
Yeah, he was.
Okay, so that's seven.
That's seven. Now, Spock is a different thing. So, working backwards, you have Spock in the last two Abrams movies.
Yep.
You have... And then I think Star Trek went up to four?
With the original cast, yeah. I think... Because I had six written down... Because I thought about Spock before I thought about Michael Gambon.
Right.
So I know he was in the last two Star Trek movies that have come out. And then I'm pretty sure he was in the first four, because those were the, Wrath of Khan and Search for Spock and all that.
It ended with four, and he's like saving whales.
Right. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure he showed up in a later one.
Oh.
Where didn't the Next Generation and the original cast have a movie together?
That I don't know.
I believe that they did, and I think he was in that one. So that would push him into seven, which is the Rocky Balboa territory that we're in.
Yeah. So you would think they'd be in sequential order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
Dirty Harry, I have no...
I'm pretty sure there's only like three or four Dirty Harry movies.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'm thinking he's the last one, to be honest.
Well, if you go process of elimination here, okay, if we're going to say we know Stallone is seven.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gambon is six. At least that would leave five and four. So you would say Eastwood would be four.
Unless Nimoy is eight.
Spock, yeah.
Because I'm thinking that it may be more than six for him. I mean, Star Trek's been around for a long time, and I think they had 10 movies before the Abrams came out. You wanted highest to lowest, right, Jeff?
That is correct.
Thanks.
So eight, you want to go 8, 7, 6, 5? Like that? Like, so...
I want to go Nimoy, Stallone, Gambon, and Eastwood.
I think that's what I would agree. I would agree with you on that one because, yeah, the Dirty Harry, I don't remember being in.
I mean, there are a lot of Clint Eastwood movies, but I don't think there are very many Dirty Harry movies. I know there's more than a couple, but I don't think it's a whole lot. So we're going to say highest to lowest, Leonard Nimoy, Sly Stallone, Michael Gambon, and Clint Eastwood.
Well, I feel like crap now. I have Spock in 9 movies, Balboa in 8 movies, Dumbledore in 7 movies, and Callahan in 5 movies. So we have the exact same order.
And your bet was probably a different number.
I'm not going to reveal the bet until we
find out what the answer is.
Find out what the answer is. So, Jeff, you hold our hearts in your hand.
I do. All right.
Don't squeeze so hard.
So... From the bottom up, we'll go the reverse order that I was looking for him. With 5 films, Clint Eastwood as Dirty Harry. He had Dirty Harry, Magnum Force, The Enforcer, Sudden Impact, and The Deadpool. With 6 films, Carmella, you were absolutely correct. Richard Harris passed away after the second film, and then he did films 3 through 8, so that's 6. So Michael Gambon had 6 as Dumbledore. With 7 films, Sylvester Stallone as Rocky Balboa. With Rocky 1 through 5, Rocky Bubble and Creed, and then 8 for Leonard Nimoy. You guys,
it's gonna come down to the wager.
Kyle and Carmella had exactly the right numbers too, but you both got the question correct.
All right, so we both get the question right.
It comes down to the wager.
You guys wagered 36.
Yep.
So you're finishing with 172 points.
Yes.
I'm finishing with...
Oh God. Please be less. Please be less.
136 points.
You bet zero.
I bet zero.
You actually bet zero. Woo! Finally, you bet zero, and it paid off for me.
No, I got to be honest. I'm happy that it didn't end in a tie, but I kind of want to see you guys do rock paper scissors. Just good. I'm happy that it.
Oh my god! It's the worst feeling when you get it right and still lose because you didn't. Oh my god.
I've done that to you before.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
Oh, my God. Jeff, you've ruined my day.
Oh, Jonathan.
You've made my day so much better, Jeff. You just have no idea.
It's terrible.
That balances things out.
All right, guys.
And also, boo.
Yeah, yay and boo. Right, hey, congratulations, Kyle and Carmella. Great job.
You're a great partner,
well,
Kyle.
That was...
Yeah, thank you.
You were
well
quite
everybody.
A good
you guys
team.
Did really well.
Okay, so before we go, few things that we like to do. I want to read one of the new reviews on the board. we are steadily climbing. You know, we put out the call to get to 60, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're at 57.
Ooh. Yeah,
so we're moving our way to 60. And here's one from the Real Trivia Geek. Ooh. That is what they called themselves.
Sounds very official.
They say that's 5 stars, a long overdue review. Trivial Warfare accomplishes exactly what I was searching for in the land of podcasts. It successfully recreates bar trivia night. I listen on my way to and from work to get my fix. The trivia is challenging but still knowable, and the hosts have fun. If you're looking for good bar trivia and good banter, look no further.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you to the Real Trivia Geek and all you trivia geeks out there who aren't the Real Trivia Geek.
A little less real.
Yeah, that's right. The lesser trivia geeks, I suppose. Thank you so much. And let me pull up a warhead of the Kyle, you haven't officially signed up as a warhead, have you?
I haven't. I need to do that.
You really do. So our warhead of the week officially is Mr. Jeff Bim, who asked the questions today.
Yay, Jeff!
You guys remember, Jeff is an actual trivia host up in Chicago, Illinois. So be sure to step, especially if you're in the Orland Park area or anywhere near them, make sure you check him out at 8 o'clock on Wednesday nights. All right. Now, last thing. You guys know by now that we recently opened a Patreon account. Patreon is a place where if you're interested in financially supporting the show, you can set up a recurring donation. We'd appreciate anything you guys are willing to donate. And if you go out to the TrivialWarfare.com website and go to Show Stuff and the Trivial Warfare Army link, you can see the pictures of the people who have donated at the lieutenant level or above, which are commissioned officers. And you'll see a list of names of the non-commissioned officers who are donating below $5 a month. So really hope you guys are supporting us in that way, but no pressure if you're not. Without further ado, I think that wraps us up.
Yeah, sounds good.
So for Kyle, for Jeff, and for Carmella, I am Jonathan, and this is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare.
Doggone it. I could have just been quiet. Yeah. And gotten away with it.
It just shows your integritous nature.
Integritous isn't even a word. I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you damn kids and your mangy dog.
We don't have a mangy dog. We got Rambo.
Flea-bitten cat.